For Mesachas Me'ila, we need an introduction both to the Mesachta and the Perek as well. 6 points before we start going through the Mishnayos. Number one, the definition of Me'ila is conversion. Conversion is a legal phrase that means when you take the asset of somebody and use it for your own benefit. We can also call it misappropriation, and that's when somebody misappropriates an item that was owned by the Beis HaMikdash and uses it for his personal benefit. So that is point number one, and just in point number one as well, when somebody does that, he actually has to pay back the Beis HaMikdash for the benefit he received. He has to add a chomesh, which we'll explain in the Mesachta how that's computed. And number three, he also asked to bring an asham me'ila, such a certain type of korban. So that's all point number one. What is me'ila? Point number two is fairly quick. Me'ila that we just mentioned that applies that you have to pay back the benefit and the chomech and the asham me'ila, that is when it is unintentional, an unintentional benefit, the person using the asset of the Beis HaMikdash. But b'mezid, if it is intentional, that's going to have a different consequence for the individual, which we will talk about in Mar Mestachta as well. Well, point number three, on a high level, the benefit has to be in the amount of a pruta. Really depends on the type of asset it is, but the default will be a pruta. The benefit is received in the minimum amount of a pruta. That is when the prohibition of me'ila kicks in and the person would be obligated in the keren, chomesh, and the asha me'ilos. Number four, what assets of the Beis HaMikdash does it apply to? It applies an asset that is considered, categorized as kodshe Hashem, exclusively owned by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But if there's an asset that is partially owned by Hashem, in other words, the person who donated, for example, still has a right to benefit from it, then there would not be a me'ila if the person personally benefits from that asset. For example, there are two categories of korbanos, high-level kodshei kodashim, on a high level of kedusha kodshei kodashim, for example, a chatas and asham, that is kodshei Hashem. If a person benefits from those kodshei kodashim animals, indeed, that would be me'ila. We will qualify this shortly, but kodshei kalim, which is on a lower level of kedusha, for example, a shlamim or a psachim, there would be no me'ila. That is point number four. Point number five, in point background, there are four stages in bringing a korban, as we saw in Mesechet Zvachim. This will be important for us as well. Shchita, shachting the animal, kabbalah, receiving the blood, holacha, bringing the blood to the mizbeach, and number four, which is going to be critical for our perek, zrika, which is spritzing the blood on the Mizbeach. That is the stage that if everything is done correctly up until then, that is when it is considered a kosher korban and would permit the eating of the meat. So the fourth stage is the Zrika. That is going to be the critical one for us in our perek, the first perek. And number six, and the impact of the Zrika. And here it's going to get a little bit complicated, but easier we do it now than in the perek because it's going to be directly in the Mishnayos. So the impact of the Zrika, as we mentioned before, the kodshei kodashim or kodshei Hashem, there is me'ila. We're going to divide up between two components of the animal. There's going to be the basar, the meat that is typically eaten. When it comes to kodshei kodashim, it's eaten by the kohanim. And there are also the emurim. The emurim are the sacrificial parts of the animal that are burnt on the mizbeach. So when it comes to kodshei kodashim, there is me'ila on both the basar, the meat, and the emurim from the beginning. When somebody donates that animal to be a korban, that's kodshei kodashim, a chatas, an asham, etc., there is going to be me'ila for somebody who benefits personally from that animal. That is going to change at the Zrika stage. At the Zrika stage, the Zrika permits the eating of the meat to the Kohanim, so that it's going to be no longer Mi'ila on the meat itself, because it's permitted to the Kohanim, but the Isser of Mi'ila will continue even after the Zrika for the Me'emurim. So when we're talking about Kodshei Kodashim, there is going to be no change for the emurim. There is me'ila both before Zrika and after Zrika, but when it comes to the meat, up until the Zrika, there is going to be a me'ila on the meat, but thereafterward, there is not going to be a me'ila on the meat. On the other hand, when it comes to kodshei kalim, as we mentioned, these are not kodshei Hashem, exclusively owned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is going to be neither me'ila on neither the meat or the emurim, all the way up until the Zrika, but at the Zrika that changes, but only changes for purposes of the emurim, but not for the meat. So at the Zrika, the emurim, there will be a me'ila. Why? Because those are now designated to be burnt exclusively on the base on the Mizbeach. Accordingly, there is going to be a mi'ilah on the emurim, the sacrificial parts. On the other hand, the meat is permitted to be eaten by the owner, not the Kohanim, but the owner of that korban. And accordingly, there is going to continue to be no mi'ilah on the meat after the Zrika. So before the Zrika, when it comes to Kodesh Kalim, there's going to be no mi'ilah on either the emurim or the meat. After the Zrika, there is going to be mi'ilah on the emurim, but continue to be no mi'ilah on the meat. We are now in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, with all of that background. We are now going to talk about Kodesh Kodashim. And we are going to see now a very fascinating concept that if there is not a kosher zevach, there's not a kosher korban, something happens that there's a psul, an invalidation before the zrika will never take the meat out of being mi'ilo. So the mi'ilo will continue for eternity if we don't have a kosher zrika and everything up until the zrika. So the Mishnah says as follows, kodshe kodashim sheshachtan bedarim. If you have a kodshe kodashim animal and the shechita was done in the wrong place, it was done in the south as opposed to the north where it should have been, that is a psul and that will invalidate that korban. So both the shechita, and not only the shechita, but the kabbalah of the kodshe kodashim has to be betzafon in the north to be valid. We have an invalidation because the shechita was done in the south. Mo'alin ben, because there was never a kosher process in all four stages, including the zrika, to permit the meat, that mi'ila that existed on the kodshe kodashim before the zrika will continue no matter what for eternity. And now we'll give more detail on this. Shchatan bedarin, the shechita was done in the south, the kibul dam and the Kabbalah was done in the north, so we still have a problem. The Kabbalah was in the right place, but the Shechita was not in the right place, or the reverse. Betzafon v'kibol damam bedaron. Shechita was in the north, but the Kabbalah was in the south. Shchatan b'yom v'zarek b'layda. The Shechita was done correctly in the day, but the Zrika, fourth stage, the Zrika of the blood was done at night. That's, again, an invalidation. Even if all three stages, first three stages were correct, but the Zrika was done incorrectly, it was done at night. Or the reverse, the Shechita was done at night, and the Zrika was done in the daytime. You can't do a shechita at night. So we had a psul at any of the stages. Oshe shchatan chutz lizmana. The shechita was done when the person doing the shechita had the intent of chutz lizmana. We'll just define this once and then we'll just call it chutz lizmana going forward. Chutz lizmana is when the person doing any of the four stages of the bringing of the korban, be it the shechita, the kabbalah, the holacha, the zrika, has an improper intent that he's going to do certain acts outside of the proper time, outside of the allotted time. And the three acts are as follows. He's going to eat the meat outside of the time that he was permitted to eat it, or he's going to be makter, meaning burning the emurim on the Zbeach outside of the time that he was permitted to do it, or he's going to do the zrika of the dam outside the time that he was permitted to do it. That is a psul of chutz lizmano, and if he did have those thoughts, it will make the meat pigul, such that if anyone would eat the meat, that will be a chiyuv of kares. Another psul that relates to the intent of the individual, if he did the shechit or any of the other phases, chutzim koman. So he was thinking, I'm going to do either the eating of the meat or the makti of the emurim, or I'm going to do the zrika of the dam outside of its proper place. For example, he's going to eat the meat outside, if we're talking about kodesh kodashim, outside of the courtyard, that would be a psul of chutzim koman. That's not going to make the animal, the meat, a pigul, but it would be prohibited to eat it. It's going to be a psul of chutzim koman. In all of those situations, because we had a psul before the zrika, or even on the zrika, but there was a psul at any of those stages, the zrika never took the animal out of mi'ila. Accordingly, because we're talking about kodshe kadashi, mo'alim b'hem, there will always be a mi'ila for somebody who personally benefits from that korban. Klal amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said a general rule, kol shahaya la sh'as heter l'kohanim. Any kodshe kadashim animal that was done correctly up until including the zrika, that permits the Kohanim to have to eat the meat. Accordingly, that's what we're saying here. Kol shayala sha'as heter the Kohanim, any animal, any kodesh kodashim animal that the Kohanim were permitted to eat the meat because everything was done correctly, thereafterward, even if there is something that disqualifies that meat, ein mo'alin ba, there is still going to be no me'ila. We look at the zrika. Was the zrika done correctly? Everything up until the zrika and the zrika? If so, that removes it from me'ila. And accordingly, even if there's a disqualifying event there afterward, there's going to be no me'ila. V'shaloha yala shas heter l'kohanim. If there was never a time that the kohanim were permitted to eat the meat because there was a psul up until including the zrika, mo'alin ba, there's going to continue to be a me'ila on that animal. And now we're going to give some examples of what does that mean. Ezo hishayala Parashas Heter LeKohanim. What does it mean? That there was a time that the Kohanim could eat the meat because everything was done correctly up until including the Zrika. But thereafterward, there was a disqualifying event. What did that, does that mean? But even if there's a disqualifying event thereafterward, there's going to be no Me'ilah. We have three examples. Shelana, it's past the time that you were permitted to eat the meat, so that is a psul, fishinitma, or the meat became tame after it was permitted to be eaten by the Kohanim, or shiatza, it was taken out of the azara, taken out of the courtyard of the base of Mikdash. Once the zrika was done correctly, it removes it from Eila, and even though we had any of these three events thereafter that disqualified the meat, it doesn't matter, there's not going to be a mi'ila on that animal. What is it, a koche kadashim animal, that the meat was never permitted to be eaten by the Kohanim. So we have examples of this. And here we're talking about that there was a psul up until including the zrika. Shenishchata chutz lizmana. The shchita was done outside with the intent of chutz lizmana. Chutzim kamor. The shchita was done when somebody doing the shchita had a thought of he's going to do one of the three events we mentioned before. Chutzim kama. Vishikiblu psulim. Or the kabbalah was done by somebody who's not permitted to do the kabbalah. For example, a non-coin. Vizarku esdama. Or a psul. Somebody who's not permitted to do the zrika. Did the zrika. And all of these times, because it was not a qualified, a proper, a kosher korban, because there was a disqualifying event up until the zrika, including the zrika, accordingly, it was never removed from mi'ila. There will always be a mi'ila on that animal. Mishnah Beis, we're going to talk about basar kodshe kodashim. Not kodshe kalim, but we're continuing to talk about the kodshe kodashim, and specifically the meat of it. And what we're talking about is shiyatza lifnei zrikas damim. There was a problem before the zrika. The prior Mishnah was that there was a yotze after the zrika. Here we're talking about that the meat was taken out of the azara before the zrika. And even if it's brought back in for the zrika, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mo'alimbo, there's going to be a mi'ila. Because we had that psul of yotze, it doesn't help to bring it back in and do the zrika thereafter. The zrika is not going to be effective, according to Rabbi Eliezer, to have a kosher animal. And if we don't have a kosher zrika, if we don't have a kosher korban, ve'ein chayvin ala mishum pikol nosar v'tame, not only is there going to be mi'ila, because the mi'ila, Mo'alimbo, was never removed, but in addition, because we had never had a kosher animal, a kosher korban, there will be no further future isser of somebody eating the meat if it became a pigul, or if it was notzar out of the proper time, or a tummy person eating it, that would not be applicable. So we see something interesting here. When we have this psul before the zrika, because the zrika is never effective, it's never removed from mi'ila, so there is mo'alimba on this animal. But as a consequence of that, because there was never a kosher zrika, never became a kosher korban, will not have a problem of pikul noser and tami on it. Rabbi Akiva disagrees, and he says, Omer ein mo'alimba. He is of the view that even if the meat stays out of the azara, the outside of the courtyard, when the zrika is done, it doesn't matter. The zrika is going to be effective, and it is going to be a kosher korban, and accordingly, once the zrika is done, there will be no further me'ila on that meat. But because we have a kosher korban, accordingly, because that zrika is effective, of achayavin ala mishum pigol noser v'tame, pigol noser and tame, a tame person eating it will be a problem if that happens. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is going to prove to us that zrika is effective even if we have a yotze on that meat before the zrika, and he brings a proof. Areim hamafrish chataso the avda. Somebody who separates, he designates a korban chatas, and it gets lost. V'hifrish acheret tachta, and he brings another one, he separates another one in his place, and now he has number two. Number one is lost, but v'acharkach nimse sarishona v'areshtem omdot. He finds number one before bringing number two, and he has a choice between number one and number two. He has both of them there, and two kohanim, they move forward and they shechted each of those korbanos. You only need one. You only have one sin that you're being kapar on, but they shechted both of them. And the zrika was done from one of them. So here we say, lo kishem shedama poter et bisara, just like that zrika is effective for the one that the zrika was done from. We have two chataos. Two of them were shechted, but the zrika was only done from one of them. We'll say number one was the zrika was done, just like the zrika is effective for the meat of number one. Kachu poter basar chaverta. So too, the zrika is going to be effective for number two as well. That is going to remove it from a meila problem. Vim patar dama es basar chaverta meila. And if that is true, which it is true, that the zrika of number one is going to be effective to remove the meat of number two from Mi'ila, so too, Kal v'chomer, Dinhu, it's certainly going to be the case that the Zrika, Shiftar Besara, is going to be effective for the animal itself in our situation that we had a Yotze, that the meat was on the outside when you did the Zrika. In other words, what we're saying here, if you're going to be effective, a Zrika is going to be effective for a totally different animal to take it out of the Mi'ila, it's certainly going to be effective on the animal itself, even though it was outside of the Azara. So that's Rabbi Akiva's proof. Now we're moving forward, Mishnah Gimel, we're going to talk about not Basar, but Emurim. Mishnah Beis was about Basar, the meat of Kodshei Kodashim. We had a Yotze problem. Now we're going to talk about the Emure Kodshei Kalim. We're talking about the Emurim of Kodshei Kalim. Shiatsu Lifnei Zrika Damim, and they were outside of where they're supposed to be at the time of the Zrika. So it's important to remember what we said in the introduction here. The impact of the Zrika on Kodshei Kalim is as follows. Kodshei Kalim isn't Kodshei Hashem. Accordingly, there is no Me'ila on either the meat or the Me'emurim, but that changes at the Zrika for purposes of the Emurim, that there is Me'ila on the Emurim of Kodshei Kalim after the Zrika. Accordingly, Emure Kodshei Kalim, Shiatsu Livnei Zrika Stamim, we have the same Achlokas that we saw in the prior Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, that Zrika is not going to be effective because we have the Yotze, and even if you brought that was a Emurim back in at the time of the Zrika, but they were out when at a certain point before the Zrika. Accordingly, Ein Mo'alim Behem, that Zrika is not going to be effective, and there is going to be no Mi'ila on those Emurim. Here it's the reverse of what we saw before. Before, at least now, let's talk about now, when it comes to the Mi'ila, there's no Mi'ila on the Emurim. If the Zrika is not effective, it will continue to be no Mi'ila. Ein Mo'alim Behem. And accordingly, because that Zrika is not effective, Ein Chayavim Alem Mishum Pigol Nosar V'tami, because we never have an effective Emurim, because it was a psul, if anyone would eat those Emurim, there would be no Chiyuv on Pigol, if it were a Pigol situation, Nosar eating it out of its time, or if it's a Tami person eating it. Rabbi Akiva Omer Mo'alim Bahem, Rabbi Akiva is of the view, like we saw in the prior Mishnah, that even though we have this issue of a Yotze, it was not in the Azara, Rabbi Akiva is of the view that Zrika is effective, and accordingly, if the Zrika is effective when we have Kodshei Kalim, that means that Mo'alim Bahem, for the Emurim, there will be a Mi'ila, and because it was an effective Zrika v'chayavim aleim, if somebody would eat those Emurim, Mishum Pigo, Nosar, and Tame. Mishnah Daled, now we're going to really recap what we've been talking about, and we're going to spell it out further. Ma'aseh Damim b'Kodshei Kodashim. When you do a Zrika, but we're talking about the Zrika of the Kodshei Kodashim, Lahakel Lahakmir. In one way, it is going to cause us to be lenient, and in another way, it's going to cause us to be machmir. On the other hand, Bekodshe Kalim Kulam Lahakmir, when it comes to Kodshe Kalim, the Zrika is going to cause us to be machmir in two ways, not only one way. And now let's spell that out, Ketzad. Let's first talk about Kodshe Kadashim, Lifnei Zrika Damim. When we have Kodshe Kadashim, before we actually do the Zrika, there is going to be a Mo'alin Be'emurim Abasar. As we said before, there's a Mi'ila, both on the Emurim and the Basar. La'achar Zrika Stamim, what's the impact of doing a kosher Zrika? Mo'alim be'emurim, there's still a Mi'ila on the Emurim. However, this is La'hakel ve'ein Mo'alim be'basar. The impact of the Zrika is that after the Zrika, there is going to be no further Mi'ila on the meat of a Kodshei Kodashim animal, because that is the heter for the Kohanim to eat it. On the other hand, whether it comes to the Emurim or the Basar, chayavim, after the Zrika, this is lahachmir, the Zrika will have an impact, lahachmir, chayavim mishum pigo noser v'tame, as long as we had a kosher Zrika, there is going to be a chiv of somebody who eats the meat, pigo, if it's a pigo, if it's nosar, or if the person is tame. So there we have it. When it comes to kosher kodashim, the impact of the Zrika is going to be either lahakel in a certain way, and it's going to be lahachmir in a different way. On the other hand, because Kochekalim Kula Nahmir, when it comes to Kochekalim, the Zrika is going to have an impact Lahachmir in two ways. Ketzav Kochekalim Difne Zrika Dami, when it comes to Kochekalim, as we said before, before the Zrika, there is no Me'ila whatsoever. Emo Alin, Lo Me'emurim, Velo Babasa. There's no Me'ila either on the Emurim or the Basa. La'achar Zrika Dami, however, after the Zrika, there is a Me'ila. This is Lahachmir, Mo'alim Be'emurim. Now it will kick in that there will be a Me'ila on the Emurim. However, Ve'en Mo'alim Babasa, there will still be no Me'ila on the Basa. But this is one way that the Zrika causes there to be a Chumrah when it comes to Kochekalim, because after the Zrika, there is Me'ila on the Emurim. And the other way that the Zrika has a Lahachmir impact on Kochekalim, Al Zeh, whether you're talking about the meat or the Emurim, Chayavim, Mishum Pigol, Noser Vetami, once you have a kosher Zrika, this is Lahachmir as well. The prohibitions of Pigol Noser and Aptami eating, if they are applicable, will kick in as well. Nimsa, bottom line, to recap what we've seen in this Mishnah, Nimsa Maase Dami B'Kodshei Kodashim La'aka La'achmir, when it comes to the Zrika, when on an animal that's Kodshei Kodashim, in one way it'll be Mekil, one way it'll be Machmir, B'Kodshei Kalim Kula La'achmir, when it comes to Kodshei Kalim, it is totally La'achmir the two ways that we discussed.